sisters and brothers, over the course of these discussions, we've argued that power's success in maintaining its rule, domination over billions, despite themselves numbering only in the mere thousands, and I modified that from tens because I thought about, you know, it really depends on what your criteria, who it is you're counting in that notion of Plato's tribesmen, whether you're just counting the statesmen who, and I mean shadow and official, and that includes those from the, you know, the financial sector or those from the, you know, the big corporate interests, like, you know, Bill Gates, for instance, I am absolutely certain is among this group. And that they do keep tabs or tally their rank and all that with money, with how much they have squirreled away. But it's more than just that. That's a key criteria that measures who's on top. But there are others, I'm certain, as well. It ain't all about the bucks, because we got to throw Kissinger in there, although who knows how much he's got squirreled away. Who knows? Who cares? The point is, we are 7 billion. They are mere thousands. So we have been arguing that their success is the best illustration of the power of a vision. And that while they move steadily toward their goal, and they have been, things get worse and worse and worse. Young people don't have the perspective, perhaps, to be able to see that clearly. But by any criteria you want to look at, I mean, they keep throwing the wiles of technology in our face, which is simply a measure of all that has been ripped off from us and squirreled away and put into their hands. Meanwhile, and they like to say this isn't the case, that things are getting worse and worse and worse. But when we are looking at the devastation done to our Mother Earth, when we are looking at the eradication of our Earth connectedness in those critical sisters and brothers and lands which are still which still exist with Earth connectedness, with a sense of understanding of our how to be self-sufficient on the earth, those who are from rural communities around the globe are under attack because they do not want us to have any allegiance but to them. So we are in a critical moment right now when we have the means to begin talking to each other about, is this really what we want? You know, we see looming ocean death. We see our brothers and sisters forced into virtual slavery and in lands that are designated as the hard work, hand work sectors. While those, like for instance in this country, who have the luxury of not worrying about where their next meal is going to come from or how they're going to feed their children. And that's just a small percentage of folk in this country. But that small percentage is a key ideological device used to make it seem as if everything's okay. We all have to work together here. It is not acceptable for any one of us globally to be under the thumb, under the control of a tiny, tiny few. It is not acceptable for 10,000 to make the decisions for 7 billion. And it's never been acceptable, that disproportion in the application of our power, our ability to develop our power. It is an ethical issue. Each one of us is infinitely powerful. None of us are allowed to be infinitely powerful under a regime that demands that we serve a tiny few. It's always been wrong. It is now on us that we can do this. It's on us to forward freedom for everyone, not just, I mean, and it's not possible without everyone. Power is global. Anyway, continuing. So 7 billion, the 7 billion of us have not been moving steadily toward a united vision of the future we want. And this is a big problem because without our energy being focused, we are easily manipulated by those who do have focused energy. Put simply, centralization is the goal of these global statesmen. And I believe that our vision is the opposite of this decentralization. In our last few shows, though, we've been focusing on a different angle. We viewed this concerted, organized pursuit of power's totalitarian vision from a different angle and see a more significant consequence than simple demonstrations of what single-mindedness of purpose can accomplish. That being the threat of thought's erosion in us all. This is another aspect of the critical juncture where we stand. Not only loss of the health of our planet, the degradation of our brothers and sisters, but the degradation of humanness, itself. Thought's erosion in us all, in global humanity as a whole. Could this then, since they are driving us to it, could this then be power's vision? Does a totalitarian ethics demand thought's erosion? Could that be its destination? They would certainly not say so. This is not what they tell their children, but is it so? And what exactly do they tell their children? They have to convince us and them, their offspring, that we the people, are dangerous, that we are brutes, consumed by our passions, needing superior reason to govern us. Power controls us by means of demoralization, by always having the better of us, by always seeming to possess superiority in all things. The global state statesman cannot be the strong unless we are the weak. Toward that end, it must create the conditions that lead to our demoralization. And nothing defeats us. Nothing defeats us from within so well as violence. As violence, unless perhaps it's having no purpose, being unwanted, deemed useless. We've touched on, and they aren't mutually exclusive, are they? As we've been learning with Alice. Think about that phrase, the abandoned child, and how that sense of hopelessness is created, how that gets carried forward into adulthood. And we've touched on this in other shows. For instance, on March 3rd, 2013, we said that the ideology of the state, of rule itself, rests on two key cons. Violence is inherent in our nature, and labor is our inevitable lot. These key cons, and I posted that excerpt from the March 3rd, 2013 show up on the website with the text for this show. So I hope you guys had a chance to listen to that. These key cons, these core propaganda plans, therefore become not just the substance of all our dramas, of all the dramas. I mean, the terms of our lives, established hierarchically by the power guys, ensures that this is so. The substance of all the dramas played out in all media, news, and other entertainment, but also, inevitably, they become the substance of the private dramas that we enact, as we are caged animals under stress. And as Bentham said, humans will believe a thing unquestioningly if confirmed on all sides. And I don't want to imply that this is in fact the substance of our lives, that, you know, we're all violent with each other, just that because we are not able to determine our own lives, and the stress of that, the inability to provide, the stress of bills, all the stressors of our lives does erupt in violence. And that's a typical response of caged animals under stress. But given that our lovingness within completely unacceptable terms is still much more pronounced, And that's through no, nothing to do with this system. Just as Karl Popper said, our indomitable love and longing for freedom speaking through ourselves, through our bodies. Humans will believe a thing unquestioningly if confirmed on all sides. If we hear no alternative stories to explain, in this case, the stress in our lives. Since the inception of class, power has manipulated the fact that we are infinitely malleable. Paul Goodman, in our July 12, 2015 show, a recent show, after explaining how the structure of hierarchy allows the tiny few to control us effortlessly, describes the alternative structure of decentralization. Quote, the principle of decentralism is that people are engaged in a function and the organization is how they cooperate. Authority is, and I wanted to append a different ending there. I'm taking issue a bit with him and would finish the sentence this way. Authority is generated multitudinously and distributed across the range of human activity. As Kropotkin says, quote, the fullest development of individuality will combine with the highest development of voluntary association in all its aspects, in all possible degrees, and for all possible purposes. An association that is always changing, that bears in itself the elements of its own duration, that takes on the forms which best correspond at any given moment to the manifold strivings of all. Unquote. The organization is how we cooperate, and we're going to be thinking more about that word, organization.